Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
We love the idea that God is patient and God's forgiving and Jesus is my friend. We love that idea. That's very much part of it. But there's more to it, the story, than just that. You see, the God who is reconciled with you is infinitely holy. Sin cannot be in his presence. You see, that's that God. And yet you and I can be because of what Christ did for us on the cross. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
While attending seminary, I wrote my master's thesis on the following subject: A Pastor's Guide to Establish the Fear of God Within His Congregation. Looking back, I was much more successful in writing it than I have been in implementing it. Over the years, I've come to the following conclusion. God's people are much more likely to fear almost anything rather than God. In this series on personal fears, we have touched on many. The fear of uncertainty, the fear of serious disease, the fear of failure, the fear of loneliness, the fear of people, the fear of depression, the fear of the perfect storm, and last time, the fear of death. The irony is that the Bible is clear that these are fears that we do not have to experience. And yet for many of us, we do. The Bible is also clear that there is one fear that we should experience. That's the fear of God. The whole notion of fearing God has been falling out of favor here in America for probably the last 50, 60 years or more. Charles Kreismeyer, in his little book called The Secret of the Lord, he said that since the 1960s, the fear of the Lord has begun to embarrass God's people. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, in 1961, wrote this: "The self-assurance of modern Christians, the basic levity present in so many of our religious gatherings, the shocking disrespect shown for the person of God, are evidence enough of deep blindness of heart. Many call themselves by the name of Christ. They talk much about God, and they pray to him sometimes, but evidently they do not know who he is. The scripture says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, but this healing fear is today hardly found at all among Christian people." And he wrote that in 1961. So that's the subject matter, the fear of God. I want to begin with a biblical description of what that means. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. God is speaking to Isaiah. And right near the end of verse 12 in Isaiah chapter 8, God says to Isaiah, he says, "And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of." Isaiah, you are not to fear what the people fear or be in dread of what the people are in dread of. Then he says this in verse 13. "It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard," and here's a secret or a key to this, "as holy. And he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread." Now see, when you ask someone today about fearing God, what does it mean to fear God or fear the Lord? The prevailing view is always the same. It's sort of like, well, it just means that you should respect him. That's all he means. Just, you should show him respect. It does mean that, but it means a lot more than that. It's different than what you would think it is. You see, it's not too popular. The two words that are used here, notice, "he shall be your fear," and that's the word mora. And he says, "and he shall be your dread," and that's the word aretz in Hebrew. Mora means terror, and aretz means to tremble. Now, see, that's a little different than you might be thinking. You see, terror and tremble, oh, come on. No, that's one of the descriptions of fear. You see, this whole idea, why? Well, he says it. He says, "It is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy." You see, how else do you respond? Because God is holy. Because, well, here's the other side of that coin. God is holy, and you are not. You see, God is holy, and you are sinful. Now, what happens when a sinful being comes into the presence of a holy God? Well, Abraham fell on his face in Genesis 17. Moses fell, hid his face in Exodus 3. Balaam fell on his face in Numbers 22. Joshua fell on his face to the earth in Joshua 5. Gideon and Manoah cried out in alarm that they will die because they are in the presence of the Lord in Judges 13. Isaiah, remember, "woe, I am undone." He thought he was undone. Ezekiel fell flat on his face. Daniel said that he felt like a man who had been drained of all of his strength when he was in the presence of the Lord. Even in the New Testament, Peter, James, and John are brought to the Mount of Transfiguration, and there Jesus Christ is transfigured into who he really is, his full deity. And it says that they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. You see, in the presence of his glory, in the presence of his holiness, when we have our sinful nature, there is a response here. It's fear. It's dread. You see, and God says, "Yeah, that's the way I would like it." Now, I understand how unpopular that is. I mean, I had someone say to me some time ago, she said, "I choose not to believe in a God that I should fear. I only believe in a God that is love." And my perspective was, you have every right to have your own opinion, but there is no God like you're describing. You see, that's just your description. That's not God. She has some support. Rabbi Kushner, who years ago wrote a book, "Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?" And unfortunately, I spent time reading that book. And Kushner's view was this: the reason that bad things happen to good people is because God's trying to do his best, but sometimes he's just overwhelmed by evil. He's trying, he's good, but he just doesn't have enough. Well, Kushner's written another book, and in this book, to no surprise, he said, "If there is one phrase that I would like to see banished from all theological discourse, is the four words, 'the fear of God.' I don't think much of any religion who tries to control its adherents by frightening them. Where the phrase fear of God occurs in the Bible, I don't believe it ever refers to being afraid of God. I would beg to differ. You see, I understand the perspective. We would like it that way. But he is holy. He is infinite. And in one aspect, one of the descriptions that we use of the fear of God is simply that. That we as a sinner in the presence of a holy God would feel fear. That's why I'm so dismayed at times when years ago heard a TV evangelist. And remember, Christ is now ascended and glorified, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. And he said, you know, I just was talking to the Lord. And the Lord showed up in my bathroom while I was shaving. And I said, hi, God. Hi, you know, hey, Lord, how you doing? And the Lord said, I'm doing fine. How are you? And we just, and I thought, wow, I just don't believe that's the presence of God. You see, I just don't think I'd say, oh, hi, how are you doing? I think I'd be so aware of my sinfulness, so immediately aware of my sinfulness and his holiness. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 1, that's exactly what happens. And John writes that when I saw him for who he was, I fell like a dead man at his feet. You see, that's the ascended Christ. Peter Kreef says this, terror is a bond, however primitive, between us and God. It is supposed to be there because we are born original sinners and sinful self is naturally and rightly terrified in the holiness and goodness of God, which is sin's enemy. That's the way it works. You see, that's what happens. Remember what Peter said even when he got a sense of who Christ was. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I don't think we realize the separation between our sin and his holiness. That's why he said, it is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy, and he shall be your fear and he shall be your terror. There's another aspect, Owen, an important one. This time, go with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You see, there's more than just the Hebrew words for terror and dread. There's also the Hebrew words yari and yira, and they're related. And this has to do with awe, reverence, respect, all those things that we've talked about. Romans 7, if you know your New Testament and you're serious about your walk with the Lord, this is one of your favorite chapters. The reason is the Apostle Paul in this chapter is describing how disappointing he is in his own life. Paul starts saying things like, you know, the things I should be doing, I'm not doing. And the very things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And you're thinking when you're reading, hey, that sounds like me. You see, that's a little bit like my life goes. Well, when Paul comes to the near the conclusion down in verse 24, look what he says. He said, wretched man that I am. Paul got it. He said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? He knows who he is. Then he says this, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. And then this great verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What an amazing thing to say. You see, the other aspect of fear of God is not just awesome dread. It's astonished devotion. Astonished devotion. David Jeremiah writes this. He says, for active followers of Jesus Christ, this understanding is the most meaningful for everyday living. We fear God by having reverence for him, cherishing him. His greatness, his majesty reduce us to an overpowering sense of awe that is not focused only on his wrath and judgment, but also on his transcendent glory, which is like nothing else we can confront in this world. It leaves us all but speechless. Paul said, when I think about how holy and awesome God is, and I think about how wretched I am, I'm overwhelmed by the thought that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I'm overwhelmed by that. You see, God is always holy. It's one of those characters. He's immutable. He'll never not be holy. And yet, in spite of his holiness, he reconciles himself to people like you and me. He reconciles himself to us, and he does not condemn us. That's astounding, Paul says. I'm amazed by that. Again, A.W. Tozer says this. He says, I believe that having a reverential fear of God mixed with love and fascination and astonishment and admiration and devotion is the most enjoyable state and the most satisfying emotion the human soul can know. You ever even think about that? You see, I think one of the reasons we don't fear God is we don't even want to think about that. We love the idea that God is patient and God's forgiving and Jesus is my friend. We love that idea. That's a very much part of it. But there's more to it, the story, than just that. You see, the God who is reconciled with you is infinitely holy. Sin cannot be in his presence. You see, that's that God. And yet you and I can be because of what Christ did for us on the cross. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's astounding. We should be astonished. And on the basis of our astonishment, we should be devoted. You see, his holiness creates an awesome dread. But when you take his holiness and then mix it together with his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness and his patience, we're left with this idea of astonished devotion. Now, you might be thinking, what's he all wound up about? Why is this so important? You see, why is this so important for me? Well, let me tell you this. I'll tell you in one sentence. Big fear makes little fears go away. Big fears make little fears go away. Let me illustrate this for you ladies. You've known ever since the day you married the most wonderful son any woman could ever have that your mother-in-law has not cared for you. Now, you're having a dinner party, and you're inviting your father-in-law and your mother-in-law over to the house. Now, your mother-in-law has never missed an opportunity in the past to be critical of you when she's had that chance. And so you have a fear. You know, you keep thinking, oh boy, I don't look forward to this at all. I don't want to do this at all. So it could be a Friday night dinner party, and starting on Monday, you start worrying about it. You have fear about it. And you keep thinking, this is just awful. This is just terrible. So Friday morning, it's the worst time of all. You're going into Friday afternoon, and you're thinking, oh, I'm just so terrified of what this lady's going to do. But about an hour before they show up, you get a phone call. And it's from your doctor. And he said, this is Dr. So-and-so. I just want to let you know, on the basis of your annual physical just a couple days ago, that most things looked okay, but something looked terribly wrong. And my fear right now is just, there's a malignancy, and you need to come in for more testing. Now, how afraid are you what your mother-in-law thinks of your dinner? You see, would you even give that a thought then? No. Why? Big fears make little fears go away. You see, and that's the point. We fear everything but God, but if we truly feared God, we wouldn't fear anything else. You see, that's the Apostle Paul. What can man do to me? They said, no, we have your power over life and death. He goes, you have nothing. I only fear God. You see, once you have a fear of the Lord, you don't have all these other fears we've been talking about. Big fears make little fears go away. And the fear of God sort of trumps everything. Everything. Ravi Zacharias said it this way, the older you get, the more it takes to fill your heart with wonder and awe. And only God is big enough to really do that. He's right. That's why the fear of God is so important. The description of that fear is awesome dread and astonished devotion. The reason for it is big fears make little fears go away. And there are four reasons that we should fear God. Turn with me first to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. These are very obvious, by the way. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6. The first reason we should fear God is for who he is. Jeremiah says it this way in verse 6. There is none like you, O Lord. He says, you are great, and great is your name in might. Who would not fear you? What a great question. Who would not fear you? He said, who would not fear you, O King of nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. You see, it's for who God is. If you don't have a sense of awe and overwhelmed by God, then you have no sense of God. Just think of the macro creation of what God's done. Think of the universe. You know, the best minds in the world 100 years ago had no idea the size of the universe. None. Now they keep saying they're going into the stage of billions of galaxies, each with billions of stars. I mean, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And they keep trying to understand it because they want to control it. But they haven't. As a matter of fact, and I like to read stuff about astronomy and all that, and I can remember for probably a 10-year period, all they talked about was this unique part of the creation called black holes. And black holes are places usually where superstars have really collapsed in and on themselves. The gravity is so dense that light can't escape. And there are black holes all through the universe. It's really, you know, great stuff. This week in USA Today, I read that now the top-of-the-line science are saying there are no black holes. Why? Man's struggling. It's too big. You see, there's too much there. You know, and you know how all this came into being? He spoke it. That's all he did. He just spoke it. Now think of the micro. Think of that. Think of the whole way of, you know, the down to the cell. Think of down to the DNA. Think of all of the micro dynamics. This idea of dark energy now, something's between electrons and protons and neutrons. There's something else there. They call dark energy, sort of like a black hole. They'll probably find out there aren't any somewhere down in the future. But the point is, it really is what holds everything together. We're overwhelmed by that. And that's what he is saying. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name and might. Fear is due you. And yet, instead of fearing God, we fear people.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.